you're listening to the Rejoiceful Homemaking Podcast. We're your hosts, Colby and Kendall. We are twin sisters that work together to help motivate other women to find peace within the home, cultivating joy in everyday life, and of course, standing firm on Christ. We hope you guys stick around and become part of our community. With all love, enjoy the show. How we grow our community is only through the help of you guys, and it would mean the world to us if we kindly ask for your help on rating this podcast, leaving a review, sending this to family and friends, and of course, word of mouth. As always, if you guys want to be a part of our Instagram, you can find us at rejoicefulhomemaking_, and don't forget to get added to our Facebook group for encouragement, challenges, and blog posts. The clap. I love it. All right. Hello. We have an exciting guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself to who you are and everything to our listeners?
Sure. Thank you guys for having me. My name is Melanie. I'm a 26-year-old daughter of God.
I love it.
I was raised in a Christian home, but was radically born again 5 years ago and have been pretty open online about just my journey with all of that, and have just made so many amazing friends through that. And yeah, I love talking about Jesus. So thank you guys for having me, because I'm now going to talk about like the only thing that I ever want to talk about, which is the Lord and what he's done in my life. So yeah, praise the Lord.
Yes, yeah. And you said you're radically changed. So we want to hear your testimony, because I feel like so many people can relate with it. I've seen on your social media your testimony some, and it's just been so inspiring to just see what the Lord has done in your life. But for those who don't know your testimony, if you don't mind sharing that, that would be a blessing.
Yeah, sure. So I was raised in a Christian home, and we went to church every weekend. We did grow up in a mega church, so I think me growing up, I mean, not that every mega church is lukewarm, but I think in that particular church, I don't know if the gospel was really explained to me, and the way that you were supposed to live when you were changed by the gospel, like being born again and being holy and set apart. Those things were, I don't remember those things that were being taught to me. So we were at that church for about 20 years, and you would go there every Sunday and Wednesday. You know, I remember us doing family devotionals at home, and my parents really tried to raise us in the Lord. But I remember when I was like in middle school, I just kind of got in with the wrong crowd and just started being really rebellious at a really young age, and starting having sex and getting into drugs and drinking and all that. And was just really overcome with depression. And I feel like that's when I was really down mentally. So that kind of continued middle school and high school, and it kind of just get progressively worse. But still at that time, like, I would still call myself a Christian. I would go to church. I would go to youth group occasionally, and obviously was not living that way. And then when I moved out after I graduated high school and went to college, I realized like, oh, like I wasn't living at home anymore. And I realized like, oh, I can't like say I'm a Christian just because my parents are a Christian. Like I was kind of like put in like in front of some like a crossroad where I was like, okay, I have to choose, like, am I going to be a Christian or not? Basically, that's like what I came to, because I guess I had always thought I was, because I was raised in a Christian home and my parents were, and so I just thought that automatically meant that I was. And so when I moved out, I remember praying about who my roommate should be, and God just made it clear that it should be this one girl. It was interesting how like God was answering prayer even when I wasn't saved and didn't know him. Wasn't actually born again yet, but he was just so faithful. I could see how he was there the whole time. But he just made it clear that I was supposed to have this one particular roommate, and so she was became my roommate. But then she had a lot of problems at home, and so she would go home for like weeks at a time and just miss school. So I was like in our dorm room alone for so long. Like I would go days without talking to people, even going to class and things, because I was really introverted before Jesus as well. And so that time alone, I would use it to watch sermons. And so I started watching sermons. I started watching Transformation Church, Mike Todd. I don't know if you guys know about him. He had this like relationship goal series that had just come out. I don't watch him anymore, but I did. God use him then. And so Yeah, I think that was the beginning of me like seeking the Lord for myself
Right.
by watching those sermons. And so that summer, I also ended up going on a mission trip that completely changed my life too. I was supposed to go with my best friend, and then like the day before, she got sick and couldn't go. And so I was thrown into leading a group of six high school girls on a mission trip to Haiti that I never met. And like, keep in mind, like before Jesus, like I hated people. Like it was like I had this, it was horrible. Like I had a deep-seated hatred for people.
Right,
I didn't
yeah.
talk to people. I didn't like know how to have like I had like my closest homies, but like that was
Yeah.
about it. Like I wasn't
Homie.
sociable. I wasn't social. I wasn't I didn't know how to like have conversations or like I don't know. I was just like so introverted and it was horrible. And the enemy really put this hatred in my heart for people. And so when I was in Haiti, I like that was like the first time I felt love in my heart for people. And I was like, what is happening? Like, I don't know if you know that scene in The Grinch where his like heart is going. He's like, what is happening to me? So that was like happening. And I was like, what? And then I remember at the end of that trip, I realized like I need to start reading the Bible. And so I remember like crying to like one of the group leaders and I was like, I need to read my Bible. Like, how do I read the Bible? I don't even know what to do. She's like, calm down, just start in Proverbs, you know, do one chapter a day. And so when I came home from that trip, that's when I started reading the Bible. And so that kind of started, that was like me, that was like another progression of me seeking the Lord for myself. And then that's when he slowly started courting me and reeling me in and revealing things to me through his word. But during that time, like I'd read the Bible in the morning and then like do Molly at night. So it was like I was very much like still living that double life. But God was just so patient with me during that time, just reeling me in and revealing things to me and slowly starting to convict me. So basically, long story short, next year I went to Haiti again. And then right before COVID hit, I got into this relationship with this guy that I knew I wasn't supposed to be in a relationship with. Like he wasn't a believer. Like I knew he wasn't my husband. And every time I read the Bible, every time I would listen to a sermon, every time I pray, God tell me the same thing and like huge billboard blinking letters, like you have to break up with him. And so I was like, no. And I just like straight up ignored him and disobeyed. And God was like, okay. And so he kind of, for a few months, he kind of like let me live my life and let me feel the full consequences of what it felt like to do things my own way without God at all. And it was the worst time of my entire life. And so it was like that I had struggled with depression before, but that was like a whole new pit of depression that I had. It was totally new. And so, but I knew the whole time what was happening and why and what I needed to do. And so when COVID finally hit, we finally separated and I broke up with him. And like me breaking up with him is what happened externally, but really what happened in my heart was like I was finally surrendering my will to God's. And so that was like spring 2020. And after that, like everything started to radically change. Like I just like overnight he would deliver me from things. Like I had been trying to stop smoking weed for over 10 years and he just like took it away overnight. Like it was just so like I stopped swearing, which I didn't even realize that I was swearing. Like just like things like that. But he was just like changing me. And it wasn't until after the fact that I realized like, oh, like you gave me a new heart and a new mind. And I was like radically born again during that time. And so yeah, since then it's just been like radical transformation. I feel like all day, every day for the past 5 years.
That's
Praise God.
beautiful. That's beautiful. And I love the it just shows the Lord's goodness and just how he's so patient with us, because like he doesn't have to be so patient and so caring and so loving with us even when we are sinning our worst, even though we sin every day. But it's like, but when you're purposely sinning, like we used to party a lot ourselves,
All the
Colby and
time.
I. And Colby has a similar testimony. She went to college and kind of went cuckoo. I did. And when you said like at a crossroads, like when you go and you're not away, like we grew up in a Christian household, but when you're by yourself and it's like, oh my gosh, they don't know I'm a Christian because of everything I'm doing. I mean, I don't blame them for not knowing I'm a Christian because I was fitting right in with all the things I would partake in. And but praise the Lord for conviction and that change within the heart. I wish people could see. It's like a brick wall just getting shattered, just getting destroyed, and like letting the Lord in. And it's so such a beautiful feeling. It's like he loves me even though I deserve nothing. And But he thinks the world of us, you
Yeah.
know. We're his daughters and
Yeah.
yeah, and sons. And he left them, I mean, he would leave the 99 for us. Like, praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
So I just love that you
It's
have such a
crazy.
beautiful testimony. And so many people, like, as much as I hate that, like, we all have to go through, like, you know, well, you don't technically have to go through a ton of hurt, but like a lot of people do go through a lot of hurt. And I just love to be able to pour into people who's going through, like, going through college and partying and drinking, and be like, sister, you do not do this. Like, please, we've been there. The Lord wants to deliver you from this. There's more to life than this, I promise, you
Yeah.
know. And sometimes people just
Yeah.
need to, people just don't know the steps to take to grow with the Lord. So what are some steps that you took
Yeah.
to start li living for the Lord? Because I mean, you are such a light, and I feel like you're so on fire for the Lord right now.
I feel like the biggest thing is obedience. Because I feel like during that time where he kind of like took his hand off my life and I was dating that guy, he like, that was like the biggest lesson in like obedience. And he was basically showing me like, you have to do everything that I tell you to do. Like there's no other way to live life. Like, and so I saw like very clearly the contrast between like obeying him and not obeying him, which before like I knew I was not obeying him before he like was really speaking to me and coming to get me, but obviously, there's a difference when God, when the Holy Spirit is actively working in your heart to convict you, to obey Him. And so, I would say, yeah, just obedience and like living in a constant state of repentance. You know, like laying yourself—I call it like laying myself. I feel like I lay myself bare before the Lord every day. It's like when you come before Him and you're on your face, you're in the secret place, like you're just laying everything out. Bringing all of your cares and worries and anxieties to him, like releasing everything onto him, everything that you're carrying, every thought, every motive, everything. Like it kind of like gives you a chance to lay yourself open before the Lord and be like, Lord, like show me what do I keep from here? What do I let go of? Like, you know, it's just I think that's the biggest thing is like obeying him, but also like seeking his face. Like there's no other way to grow in him other than actually going to him. Because I think unfortunately, a lot of people like they'll go to pastors, they'll go to sermons online, they'll go to Bible studies, they'll go to their friends, but they won't actually go to like God's face. Like Psalm 27, it says, like, you have said, seek my face. My heart says, your face, Lord, do I seek? Like God wants us to go to actual Him, you know, like not a sermon. You know, it's like you have to actually spend time with him. Like oftentimes when I go in the secret place, I don't even bring a Bible. Like I obviously read my Bible every day, but like when I'm just going before him, it's like you're literally sitting face to face with the creator of the universe. And Hebrews says, like, because of Jesus, like we can come boldly and through the into the throne room. And so like you're literally able to go and enter into the throne room of God every single day. Like
It's
no matter where
amazing.
you are. And so I think that's the biggest thing is like actually seeking him, because then you won't fall away. I feel like a lot of people who are really excited at first and are saved, but then fall away so quickly is because they didn't actually get to know God himself. They started going to church and started going to Bible studies, but like they didn't actually build a relationship with God. They didn't actually seek his face and know him, because once you do that, he's the one that teaches you and he transforms you and he talks to you. And like there's nothing that can like replace that. Like you won't want to ever go to anything else, you
Amen.
know?
I definitely
That's,
agree.
yeah.
With there, that just reminds me of what you're talking is how people they can find and search, like you can search this world for anything and it might bring you happiness for a moment, but the Lord gives us unending joy. Like obviously life won't be easy at when you're saved, but man, does the Lord give you joy? I mean, he can give you joy in everything, and he can just show you that his love is never ending and that he's just so merciful. So I just love that. I just really appreciate that to hearing you say that, because being obedient to the Lord is it's so important. And once you start to be obedient to the Lord, which that conviction sets in whenever you're not being obedient and you're like, oh Lord, Lord, maybe it'll go away, then you're like, yeah, that's not going away. Because the Lord wants us to be obedient, and he's going to keep pressing our heart to do things, and it will make us grow as persons, you know. And what a beautiful thing. He's willing to just keep pushing us whenever our hearts are open to being obedient.
Yeah, and I feel like the reason it just like all goes back to the gospel. Like the gospel is that we were supposed to have closeness and intimacy with God, and the thing that separates us from him is our sin. So the thing that brings us closer to him is our obedience through Jesus. And so it's like the more you sin, it's like you're literally putting a wedge between you and God. And I realized that he showed me that so often early in my walk that like every time I'd fall back into sin, it was like he felt so far away. And he did, I think he allowed it to feel that way on purpose so he could show me like sin is literally death. Like it's because death is a like when you're apart from God, you're dying. And God, because God is life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so yeah, it just everything, obviously everything goes back to the gospel, but it's like it just makes sense once you start thinking about it. Like if you feel far from God and you live in disobedience, like that's why. You know, and it's like praise God for Jesus that like you're able to repent and bridge that gap immediately. It's not like there's a lag period. It doesn't take 3 to 5 business days. It's like as soon as you repent, like it you feel close again. And not that he wants us to be perfect all the time or else he doesn't commune with us. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying. But like if you're willingly participating in a sin that he's convicting you of, like there's gonna be a separation there.
Absolutely. I
Yeah.
definitely agree. I love that. Well, a lot of our listeners, they're young single women, and we know that a lot of them are looking to be a wife and mother one day, Lord willing. And I know you're probably preparing yourself if that's the Lord's will in your life for that moment. And I just wanted to get some tips on that you can give young women on how you're preparing for that role, because I mean, if it's the Lord's will for a woman to get married and to have kids, I mean, that's something to prepare for, you know. There's a lot of responsibility in that.
Yeah, I realized like shortly after, I feel like ever since I've been saved, God has been preparing me to be a wife. And I believe that He has revealed to me things about my husband. And the first thing that He did was completely heal my relationship with my dad, which is like, it just makes so much sense. Like, me and my dad never got along growing up just because we were like the exact same. Like there wasn't anything traumatic, like there wasn't anything like really big that happened. We just like butted heads all the time. And so that was the first thing God did was heal my heart towards my dad, which is just like it makes so much sense, right? And so
It does.
not only did he do that, but I feel like he healed my heart towards men in general. And not that I had any sort of trauma or anything that happened that caused me to like have some sort of feeling towards men, but like we don't realize as women, it's like literally integrated into our minds from society and feminism that like men are evil. And so like
And
God
vice
had to
versa.
heal that. It was like this deep-seated programming that was in me that I didn't even realize was in me. And I'm sure you guys know it's deep in the church too. So that was like one of
Yeah,
the
don't get us started. We'll be here for a long time.
Yeah. So it was cool. Like that was one of the biggest things that he did first was just heal my heart towards men. One of the biggest ways he did that was through this book called Created to Be His Helpmeet by Debbie Pearl. I know that it's really controversial, and the Pearls are controversial in many ways. And I haven't read any of their other books, so I can't speak on them. But this book in particular, it completely changed my life. Like I didn't even want to read it at first, but some of my friends and I were doing a Bible study on it. And so I was like, okay, let me just read it. And it's definitely like eat the meat, spit out the bones type of thing. But I would say majority of it is like so needed. Like if there is one book that every single woman should read other than the Bible, it would be that book because it completely healed my heart towards men. And I was able to see, like I was able to like understand men in the way that they are and how God created them that way on purpose. And like I haven't met my husband yet, but it like healed my heart towards my dad, towards my brother-in-law, I mean, those are really the only two men in my life that I like interact with all the time. But like it really like it made me appreciate them and see them in a new light. And I feel like you have to do that. You have to be prepared in that way as a wife, because if you like still have this like feminism garbage in your mind when you get married, it's like anything your husband does, you're gonna like think he's evil. It's just like it's so ingrained, you know? It's like toxic masculine, like all of these things. Like I would just pray and ask God to renew your mind about like what he says about men and to have him show you what a man is and like how he created them to be. Because once you see that, you're like, oh my gosh, like men are literally amazing.
They're
Like God
amazing.
is so cool to create men, you know, just the way that he created them, it for the purpose that he created them for. It's just like so, it's yeah, that's like Step negative 100, I think. So I would say that, like, and I would say, like, even if you, because even before Jesus, I never called myself a feminist. Like, I always knew that was weird. But I didn't even realize how much of that was, like, ingrained in me. So I would say, like, that's one of the biggest things is, like, pray and ask God to renew your mind in that area. Remember, like, Created to Be a Helpmeet by Debbie Pearl, The Excellent Wife. I don't remember who it's by. I know it's like a red book. It's very similar to Created to Be a Helpmeet, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands by Laura,
Love
Dr. Laura.
that.
Yeah, those are all, like, really, they just helped me so much because it, like, it, they're just, like, really practical books. And, like, I, even though I'm not married, I was able to apply the things that I learned to my relationships with the men in my life. Seriously. And, like, that's another cool thing too, is that God has used the men in my life to, like, really help me to practice these things, like holding my
Absolutely.
tongue, and, like, not telling them what to do, and, like, being kind and respectful and honoring them, which, praise God, he's helped me to grow in that area a lot because it was bad. But
I'm relating so much to this. This is like, I'm like, you're literally reading my brain right now. I'm like,
Oh
this,
my gosh.
we've read the Helpmeet book before.
Oh,
And
really?
yeah, and I have some friends that do not like it at all, but I said
Yeah,
exactly
me
what you said,
too.
like, you know, chew the meat, spit out the bones type of thing. 'Cause
Yeah,
there's
there's
like,
so much given
I
it.
believe when I read
Yeah.
that, I became a better wife because of it, like holding my tongue more and
100%.
really like
Yes.
trying to be disciplined with my heart posture towards things. And just like you said, feminism is so rooted in the church. And people don't even realize it because people
Right.
just degrade their husband, like, oh, like just make snide comments, you know, without even
Yeah.
realizing it. And I'm like, that's wrong. That's wrong. We're supposed to honor them. And when we do our roles as women and they do their roles as men, man, this, and we honor each other, the world would be such a better place if we just really just knew each other's spots, because the Lord designed us different, but man, he made a perfect plan with design and everything. It's been such a blessing, because we were never feminist either, but our heart towards like just being a submissive wife and being, you know,
The word
loving.
submissive, so scary.
So scary. Beautiful. It's a
Beautiful.
beautiful thing the Lord created us to be, and we're trying to, like, we're learning how to be, because we're both young in our marriage still. But whenever the Lord, you open your heart to the Lord teaching you how to be a submissive wife, I just want like every woman to know
It's
being
not degrading.
submissive, it's not bad, it's beautiful. It's the process can be beautiful to it, and we
Praise
serve
the
the
Lord for that.
Lord when we do it His way. You serve the, you're not doing it to, you know, worship your husband. You're doing it to worship God, you know, to serve Him, serve the Lord, and He wants you to be do that. So praise the Lord for that. And man, your future husband's gonna be a lucky feller.
I
Amen.
mean,
That's exactly what I was gonna say. I was like, you are going to be amazing at
amazing.
this. And it's such a blessing. You get to learn it now, because it stinks when you get married and you don't really know how to be a submissive wife, and you're just like, ew, blah blah blah. I was there. God bless my husband. Oh man, he's a good man for me. Because I got married when I was 19. So a lot of growing up had to be done. A lot. Praise the Lord for him. He's a good
And I
man.
feel like it obviously applies to wives to be submissive, but, like, even in your singleness, you can practice being
Yeah,
submissive to your
absolutely.
father, to your pastor, to your boss, to those in authority over you. And it's, like, so important to practice that before. Especially over your dad. I know not everyone has a situation where they're able to live closer to their dad, or even have a dad, or even have a good relationship with their dad. But I would just pray, like, if you don't have a father figure, like, pray that God will bring you one, because I feel like it's so important to practice honoring and submitting to a man in your life before getting married. Obviously, that's not possible for everyone, and it's not a requirement, but I think it'd be really helpful. It's been really helpful for me.
Too, and not everybody will have that situation where submitting to a husband is going to be easy. And there's different avenues, and that's why people need to seek wise counsel, you know, because thankfully we have faithful husbands and husbands that love us. So to me, it's so easy to say that. But I just hope anybody that has a bad relationship, go to a wise counsel to see how you should submit to the husband that isn't the most fruitful, or, you know, anything like that. And I think it starts too with young women starting to pray for their husbands now who are single. I think that would be is so important because your husband, I mean, he's a sinner too. You're a sinner. You're going to be living with two sinners under one roof, and to start praying for their heart and their heart posture to change and to protect their eyes right now, I think would be just so important for young women to do because, I mean, this world is so lustful and just so you get satisfaction. What? Sorry, I said that wrong. So quick, you know. And so it's just to pray for them to be, you know,
Strong.
strong in the Lord is just would be ideal for young women to do. Yeah. So
I would say
also,
one other point about like preparing. Sorry, I
no,
didn't mean to
go
interrupt
ahead.
you.
You're fine.
You're a little lagged there, but another really important point that I realized, because I'm realizing like what have I learned so much about motherhood or wifehood from and motherhood. But another huge thing is like choosing who I follow on social media. Like that has been, I have learned so much from following people on social media. Like Dear Sister on Instagram. I don't know if you guys know her. That transformed. These are all people that I highly recommend. If anyone listening to this, like go follow these ladies. Dear Sister, The Transformed Wife,
Oh,
Bindi
yes.
Mark on YouTube. They have helped me so much. It's crazy because you're already on social media, so might as well use that time to prepare you to be a wife. Like, it's
Absolutely.
been really, really helpful. I would say like majority of things that I've learned is from these women who are like who have this ministry online, who are just posting about it. And obviously, it's so cool that like you guys are doing this, Milena's doing this. It's like so needed right now. You guys are like literally doing what Titus 2 tells you guys to do. So
Thank you.
that was another huge thing. And unfollow people who speak poorly about their husbands and
I
their children.
totally agree. I have a question for you. So many, I'm sure you relate to this. Like the transformed wife, love her. We are, I'm telling you, we're sisters in Christ, that's for sure. How would you, because I still, because I'll recommend that page for her, and so many people get defensive over the way they say things, which to me, I'm a blunt person, so I like
Me too.
so I'm like,
Yeah, me
I
too.
don't take it, you know, wrong. I'm like, well, that's how it is, you know? But people, you know, how would you take that? What would you suggest?
Yeah, I think there's always like a reason why the people are offended. I think there's always an underlying reason of like why does that trigger something in you? And what is it triggering in you? And like how can you bring that to the Lord? Because it's like there's some sort of maybe undealt with, or like maybe you're in the middle of dealing it with it right now, and that's okay. Like you don't have to like follow these people and love them right away. Like if they trigger you, you can unfollow them. But like I would just encourage people to like if that does trigger you, like why? You know, it's like let's get down to like the root issue. Like is there some sort of like unforgiveness that you have in your heart towards your dad or your husband or a man who did something to you? Like, do you have some sort of trauma in your past that like really triggers you when people talk about submission? You know, there's always a reason. Or are you just like living in the flesh? You know, like, but I think most of the time it's like there's some sort of underlying reason. And so I want to be like sensitive and compassionate to that and like pray, encourage them to pray and ask God to heal that part in them, whatever is causing that trigger. Because I mean, I know people personally who don't like those people because of certain triggers and certain things that have happened to them that are horrible. So it's like I understand, but that's just something, that's just another thing that you can bring to the Lord and that he can heal completely. So.
Because I guess if I saw those things in my early journey when I was more lukewarm, I guess I'd be like, how could the transformed wife ever say that? But now I'm like, but she's right. Like, what do you mean?
Mean, the truth hurts, you know?
Tough love is still love. She looks like she has a good marriage and good family tree. I mean, I admire it.
I know, I love her so much. I mean,
Oh, it
obviously
hurts.
I don't agree with every single thing that both of these women say, but it's like it's
Exactly.
okay. You don't have to agree with someone 100% to like take from what
Oh
they're saying.
yeah. Yes, and that's a great point too. It's like, and I feel like I can do that. I'm like, I don't have to agree with everything they say, but like for the most part I do agree with it, but I know some people they'll see that and just automatically turn it off. Especially like just a blunt post or something. And
She
I'm
is, I know who you're talking about now. She is blunt.
oh yes.
I love it though. That's gonna be you
I
when you're older. That's gonna
know.
be you. Excuse me.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, well, that's really wise to just kind of get to the root cause of why they don't like it, because like I said,
Yeah.
I guess I enjoy just straight to the point, not fluffing it
Right.
around.
Well, women are so Me too.
emotional, and sometimes we just gotta stop, like stop, like just
I
get straight
know.
to the
Yeah.
point, like take the emotions out of it, and that's just
Right.
the truth, you know? I mean, that's
Yeah.
just what we need, because we're emotional creatures. We are.
It
My
is what we
Lord,
need,
what a
especially
thing.
coming from a woman.
Right.
Because if it was a man saying these things, like people would probably be like, not even gonna look at it. But it's like a woman, you know, she gets it. She's just being real. So,
Yeah. Oh, I actually love going through the comment section. Actually, I follow a couple men that do kind of say the same things, and I love seeing women on it.
yeah.
Kills me. They just will, get upset,
I
and I'm like,
know.
oh gosh.
I
Toxic.
know. It's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is sad, and Lord willing,
they'll come
yeah,
around.
people will come around, because especially when a man's following Christ, obviously we know everyone has their own journeys and everything, but when men's following Christ too, and you're praying for your husband to become the man that Christ wants him to be, and you start to see that fruit, it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, like we said earlier, the roles are just, God is so good. He's so good.
He's
He's
faithful.
so faithful. He
Yeah.
really is. So what encouragement do you have for young women to find contentment in Christ while you're kind of waiting for your future husband?
I would say just seeking God's face.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to find contentment in any area of your life other than having an actual relationship with God himself and knowing him and talking to him and hearing from him and spending time with him. Like, that will f we have a God-shaped void in our soul that can only be filled by that intimacy, that closeness that we have with him. And I feel like also something that God had to bring me to was that I feel like about 2 years ago I was like almost idolizing the idea of a husband, because I feel like that particular year God was speaking to me so much about my husband. So I was like, oh, I'm meeting him this year, because God literally will not stop talking about it. But I didn't end up meeting him, and I was like so disappointed. And God was just like bringing me to a point of like being actually satisfied in him if I never even got married, you know? Because I think a lot of Christian circles, especially, think that like marriage is the end goal, but it's like marriage is not the end goal. Like, hearing well done, good and faithful servant, like that's the end goal. And so, like, marriage is just a means in which we'll be sanctified and it brings glory to God. And I'm sure you guys have more to say about marriage than me, because I have never been married, and so I don't know all the ins and outs and revelations and miracles that God uses that for. But I would just say, just being fully satisfied in him and like pray and ask God to get you to a point that even if you didn't have a husband, like, you would actually be okay. You know, because it's like one thing to say, yeah, I'll be fine, but you're like not actually fine. But like, ask God to make you actually fully satisfied and fulfilled. And I'm so glad God did that work, and only he could have done it, where I actually got to the point where I was like, I would be totally okay with being single the rest of my life.
That is
And I
beautiful.
feel like I particularly really needed that, because I feel like if I had met my husband before that, like, I think I would have put like a burden on him that wasn't his to carry, to like fill something in me that he could never fill. And so I would say that's a huge thing, is just grow in your intimacy with the Lord. Like, get in the secret place, fall in love with him, pray and ask him to help you love him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And all most of all, like, think, like, keep your mind on the things above, not the things below, because we know, like, we're not married in heaven, you know? Like, our spouses are just temporary. Marriage on earth is a way to represent our intimacy and closeness with God. And so it'll eventually pass away. I mean, it's a good thing, and God calls people to be married, but I think something that really helped me personally is like praying in general with being content if being single, and being content in every other life, is just keeping my mind on things above and not the things below. And I always cling to Colossians 3:1-4, where it says, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so I think that's my biggest encouragement, is to think about heaven. I mean, biggest encouragement with anything is like, this life is so temporary, and If God brings you a husband, praise the Lord. May he use that to sanctify you and to glorify him. But if he doesn't, like, he will give you everything you need. I think a lot more people are called to singleness than we realize. Like Paul and Jesus both said that, like, being single is better. Like, they both said it's actually the best. And so I think a lot of Christians assume that, like, they're gonna get married, but I think, and a lot of them are, God, I mean, it's God created marriage, he created children, we need to procreate, but I think there's a lot more people than we realize that are called to celibacy and singleness for God's glory. And so I would just encourage everyone, especially, to seek God's face and seek his face about your future. Like, what does he want for your life? And, like, trusting that his ways are always best, even if it's not what you thought.
I love that. And it's awesome you said something about idolizing marriage, because I was just thinking, or not thinking, I was having a conversation with one of my friends saying how easy as a wife it is to idolize my husband. And that's just because he's just such a great, I love him so much, and he's such a great guy. And I'm like, and then I saw a post on Instagram, and it said, the you are not going to be standing before God as a spouse, but as a servant. And it hit me. I was like, it's so true. Like, I am God's servant, and then I am a spouse, not a spouse, then a servant. And so you saying, the end goal is well done, good and faithful servant. And it's so true here on earth, it's such a beautiful thing to be married, but even when you're married or single, the end goal is heaven and serving a good and gracious God. And the idea of us not being married in heaven is almost like, oh, what? But it's a perfect plan, And so yeah, I just love that you brought that up, and about the singleness too, and being content with God over, idolizing a marriage, because at the end of the day, God's number one. And that's what makes your heart posture just so beautiful, when you have God's view of everything. So I'm so thankful that you have said all of that. That's so wise. How old are you?
26.
You are wise beyond your years. Oh my gosh. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, you are definitely being used for a mission. That
Oh, praise
is
the
amazing.
Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord. All glory to him. So if you could go back to your high school self or college self, what would you tell your own self, looking face to face at each other and just saying, listen up, sis.
Oh man, I was praying, asking God about, I guess, this question in particular, and I just feel like I would share the gospel with myself, because I was thinking, and I think about this all the time, like, I don't think anyone actually shared the gospel to me directly, like, sitting down with me and shared it with me and explained everything from start to finish in a way that, like, made sense to me. So I would do that first, because that's, like, the foundation of everything. Just explaining the gospel and explaining that, like, we were supposed to know God intimately, and our sin separates us from him, and the one thing that can take away that separation is Jesus. Like, just sharing the gospel and sharing the word of God. And also, I always think, like, what if someone in my life actually obeyed the scriptures that told us to gently and humbly call out the people who are claiming to be Christians but not living like it. Like, I mean, there's so many scriptures. Like, I think of, like, 1 Corinthians 5, for example, where it's talking about, like, Paul saying, like, I can't believe the sexual immorality going on. Like, a man has his father's wife, and you guys are okay with this? Like, you need to take this man out of the church, like, kick him out. And he does that, and it says, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So it's not like God's just, like, condemning him forever. Like, there's something about that, like, the church discipline that, like, causes that person to repent. And I always wonder, like, what if someone actually did that to me? Like, I wish someone did. Like, no one ever, and I was, like, in the church. Like, I was well known. Our family was well known in the church, like, everyone, we were there for 20 years. And no one ever came to me directly and, like, said, you're calling yourself a Christian, but, like, the Bible condemns the way that you're living. And, like, you need to repent and turn to him, because according to the Bible, like, if you die in these sins, like, you're gonna go to hell. And I just wish someone told me that.
Amen.
I
Yeah.
like I always think about like what would have happened. Like I probably would have gotten saved so much sooner. And like I probably would have like gotten out of my sin so much sooner, but like no one did that. So it's the most loving thing you can do is share the truth with someone. So that's probably what I would say to young Melanie is like first share the gospel and also just share the truth about God's word and like the fact that like you can come away from these sins and you have to
Right.
if you want to be saved. And so yeah, that's a big thing. I think just like exercising 1 Corinthians 5 yeah, gently and humbling, leading that person back to the truth.
Encouraged to do so, because it's so intimidating to go up to somebody, and I feel the same way. I'm like, what would have happened? I wish, which there's always a plan, but I'm like, I wish so badly I could go back and be a shining light in my rough year. Like, of course, change out, instead of my rough years, be my, years in college to, go spread the gospel and go shine a light and not waste so many emotions on men or just physical things, And it's like telling your younger self that would be amazing. And so it's really encouraging for like all of us now. It's like, let's go seek out those people who are doing the things we did and go humbly tell them you're not living in the way you should, and there's a better answer, the best answer, the Lord God Almighty. So just like any Christians, I think it would be great to teach younger Christians and ourselves and everybody in the church, like, to kindly and have courage to go up to those living in sin still, and of course call out our brothers and sisters who aren't living in the right way as well. Just to go tell them, like, we need to change our ways. There's a better answer. But there's so many Christians that are lukewarm, especially in the United States of America, because we're so comfortable.
Yeah.
We're so comfortable. It's nothing to, just live in our sin because, I mean, we can do whatever we want at any time we want and then pretty much have no consequences for it unless yet. But you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
thanks for coming.
And for us Christians, for the church to be on fire, it takes us standing up and being like, I've been in your spot before. You don't want to be here. You want to live for the Lord, and that's what we're called to do, is bring each other up and pull each other to the stairway of heaven together, So, yeah, that's a great encouragement.
Yeah. Do you have
Yeah.
any final words or anything for our listeners?
Yes, I wanted to share 1 John 2:1-6. It says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked."
Amen. The gospel.
I just feel like that's one of the well, that's another scripture that I would tell my younger self is like, I love this scripture because it like tell it's like both truths, like the truth of the gospel and the fact that like if we do sin, like Jesus is there to forgive us and to get us back on track, but also it doesn't negate from the truth that like you have to obey him. You know, like if you claim to be a Christian and you claim to abide in him, you have to walk the way that Jesus walked. You know, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And so, yeah, I guess that's my closing thoughts for everyone is love God, abide in him, cling to John 15, where it says like the branch cannot bear fruit apart from the vine and all that scripture and apart from him, we can do nothing. And there's an expectation that we have to live that way. And so that's my biggest encouragement for every Christian is to endure until the end. Things are, I think, especially for American Christians, things are going to get real rough real soon here in the US. And Jesus is coming back really soon. So
Praise the Lord for
encourage brothers and sisters to endure until the end and to cling to his word, to memorize it. You just don't know how long we're going to be able to have access to Bibles in America. And the Lord convicted me to memorize the whole New Testament. It's been so hard. So I
Why
would
am I
encourage
doing this?
people to do to encourage like large like you are able to memorize large portions of scripture. Like if I'm able to do it, anyone's able to do it. I was really encouraged by my friend Rachel. She literally memorizes like four entire chapters a day. And so I'm like, if you can do it's possible. It's possible. Okay. So I just encourage people to do that. Memorize scripture
I need to
and
step up
pray.
my game. I need, I'm
Yeah.
convicted.
Yeah.
We need to memorize more
Man,
scripture.
we need to do
Yeah.
that because it's true. We
Well,
don't know
that
how.
just showed me it's possible.
Absolutely.
Because at first I was like, you know, I know people memorize passages and like one scripture, but I never thought of like memorizing entire chapters. And so when I saw my friend Rachel doing that, it was really God, yeah, God told me I had to do that too.
I
So,
mean, we memorize songs, you know, you can, and they're most of
yeah.
the time they're horrible songs. You know, so I mean, let's get those out of our head and fill it with the Word
Holy
of
Spirit.
God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's so true. Well,
Amen.
thank you so much for coming on and taking your time to speak to our listeners. I know through the Lord, you know, someone will be touched only through Him and His glory. Can you tell our listeners where to find you?
Yes, so Melody Mandeli on Instagram. I try not to be on it too much, but I do post nuggets occasionally. And when I was posting a lot a while ago, and so I saved all of those posts basically in my highlights under my profile. My testimony is on there too, a more extended version. And yeah, that's where you can find me. And if you don't see me there, I'll see you in heaven, hopefully.
That's right.
I
I love it.
love
I'm gonna start
it.
telling people that. If I don't see you again, I'll see you in heaven. Yeah. We'll see
Yeah,
someone give each other a high
hopefully.
five. What up? We made it.
I know. But yeah, thank you guys so much for reaching out and for having me. I really appreciate this conversation, and I pray that it encourages a lot of people. So thank you guys.